Awesome, awesome. Mike, thank you so much. I love it when Mike hosts, man. He's going to talk about all the types of mail, Gmail, Hotmail, snail mail. I don't know. He was just going to tell us all of them. But thank you so much, Mike, for that warm introduction. Worship team, thank you so much. Dylan, come on, man. Dylan, come on. We got a drummer in the house today. Jesse, Jen, Christian, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. Amazing worship this morning. Let's hear it for the worship team today. Man, full house here this morning. My name is Josh. I'm the pastor here. Let me pause. Take time to welcome you if it's your first time to Center. Welcome home, okay? To all our friends that are jumping in online, say hello in the chat area. Man, we appreciate you. We see you. We love you. Shout out to everybody who's in the house today. How you doing, Center Church? Man, you guys are alive. Alive up in here, man. You're loved. You're seen. Hey, freedom looks good on you. You know what I'm saying? Man, freedom looks good on you. I could just feel the vibe up in here. Man, y'all looking really good today because, man, y'all are free. And Jesus, I can feel it. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. And, yeah, for everybody back home, yes, the camera does add 20 pounds. Just to let you know. All right. Got that out of the way. Today could be the best day for the rest of your life because you have the opportunity to encounter a God who wants to meet you right where you are, a God who wants to work some things in you, a God who wants to work things in your life that you never thought possible. And this might be your first time at a church like this, or maybe your first time in a long time. Maybe you've been doing this faith thing for a while. But all I know is that today is a really great day to lean in God's direction. Amen? Really great day to lean into the Lord's direction. Well, this morning, just like what Mike said, we're closing out our series, I Love My Church, right? We made it, man. 2 months of unpacking some things, okay, the DNA, the core values that make us who we are. And next week, we're going to walk out one of those values, okay, I Love My Church, because we like to party. Anybody like to party, right? That's going to be us next week, because there ain't no party like a Center Church party, because a Center Church party don't stop, right? Man, my wife is embarrassed right now. She's done. Hey, so join us next week after service as we partay with the pastors at Garden Coffee. It's just down the street here. Man, kid and pet friendly. So ladies, you can take your husbands. Oh, you guys got that pretty fast. I was planning to say, let me let that sit for a second. But we're going to party like it's 1999, all right? We're going to celebrate together. We're going to party here on earth because that's one of the things that we're going to do in heaven. We're going to celebrate together. And this is not in your notes, but the book of Matthew actually says this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east as to the west, and we are going to sit down with guys like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. Everybody say feast. Feast. We're going to feast, man. It's going to be a huge party. When all the saints of God come together one day, we're going to eat, we're going to sing, we're going to laugh, and we're going to worship in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that good? We're going to worship in God's presence in Garden Coffee as it is in heaven. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we're going to do. But as we close out this series today, I want to speak on the subject along kind of that same theme of eternity. Eternity. Because there's so much more to this life than just this life. I want you to understand something this morning, that as Jesus people, we live with a heavenly hope. And there's something that actually sets us apart from different belief systems, that if we cross the line of faith to say, Jesus, I'm turning away from all else, and I'm saying yes to you. I'm turning away from trying to earn my way to your favor. I'm turning away from maybe making all this money because I think if I give to charitable things, that's going to earn my place in heaven. If I turn away from all else and I say yes to you, Jesus, I'm inviting you into my life. The Bible says that one day when our time on earth comes to an end, we actually enter into his presence in a heavenly place. That's the hope of the believer. It's a promise of heaven. Also, this is not in your notes, but Jesus says this in John, and if I go and prepare a place for you, a heavenly place, I will come back and I'm going to take you with me so that you may also be where I am. a paradise called heaven. And we're going to hang with God for eternity, man. We have this heavenly hope. See, the devil didn't defeat God. Come on, somebody. The devil didn't defeat God, and not even death stands a chance against Jesus and his church. Amen? Does not even stand a chance. So this morning, as we close out this series, I like to unpack. I love my church because we build treasures in heaven. It's going to be up on the screens. We build treasures in heaven. I like what Matthew says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. And Jesus, he's actually teaching this sermon. It's more famously known as the Sermon on the Mount. He kind of goes to a mountainside. He starts preaching. He starts teaching people. And they start to gather just like this. And what he teaches them is what it really means to follow Christ. What does that actually look like? In Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, it's up on the screens. This is what it says. Jesus says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal." Jesus is like, hey, just don't earn more. Just don't make more or work more to build up things here in this life. And I want you to hear me out, okay? There's nothing wrong with being financially responsible. Amen, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Or making wise investments for yourself or for your family. It's just not the only investment for the believer. It's not the only investment. There's this eternal investment that every Jesus person should consider, a place where you'll get the most return on your investment. And this is what it says. The verse continues, store your treasures in heaven. Go ahead and underline that. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. It's an investment that doesn't ever go bad. It's an investment that cannot be taken away from you. This is how the verse ends, is what it says. It says, for wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your hearts will also be. And Jesus is saying this, wherever you put your treasures into, your heart is gonna follow that. Treasure is anything that we value above all else, and that thing motivates us to action. That's what treasure is for us. Like, we value that, we put it so high that, man, it motivates to do something to gain that treasure. For some, it's power. I want to be at the top of my company. I want to, you know, make it to the top. So they work hard to climb the ladder of success. For others, it might be clout, right? So they make videos or they try to get attention or they try to make a platform for themselves because, you know, I want to be an influence. I kind of want a thing here. For others, it might be, you know, you just want to be financially secure. That's a treasure that you're gunning for. So you try to get that degree, you're working that job, you try to head for that promotion, nothing wrong with that. Maybe you're working double shifts so you can save more, okay? Financial security. Everyone's treasure looks different. Everybody's treasure looks different. But no matter what that looks like, Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, your heart will follow. And the point he was making is this, what you invest in is what you value. What you invest in is what you value. Can I encourage you today to invest in the things that's going to last for eternity? Come on. Can I challenge you in shifting your perspective to invest in God's kingdom? I want you to see this. This is going to be up on the screens. When I focus on God's priorities, I naturally make heavenly investments. Man, when my mind, when my heart, when I'm just so focused on the priorities of the kingdom, priorities of God, man, I naturally make heavenly investments. You know, maybe your heavenly investment was, you know, it's serving on a dream team. Maybe that's your heavenly investment. You come here, you help kind of, you're part of the team that offers people the opportunity as they walk in to encounter the Lord. You're on the tech team. You're on the worship team. You serve in kids. Man, Lord, help you if you serve in kids. Man, shout out to Pastor Jason. He just had a baby as well. Lord, please have mercy on his soul. No. He's making an investment to help people walk in here and be able to encounter God. Maybe that's your heavenly investment. You greet people. You say hello. You give them a cup of coffee, right? Maybe Your heavenly investment is you're leading a small group. Hey, who's a small group leader up in here? Oh, who's in a small group? Let's hear all small groups. Yeah, that's right. Maybe that's your heavenly investment. You make available the environment that offers community and connection. Hey, you're invited to the table. Hey, you're going through that. Hey, me too. Hey, let's work this out together. Maybe that's your heavenly investment. Maybe it was the encouraging text. Maybe it was the coffee meetup this past week. Hey, I just pouring into that person, pouring into that family member. Hey, let's meet up for coffee. How are you doing? Hey, can I pray for you? Maybe your heavenly investment is financially giving to Center Church. Maybe that's your heavenly investment. Scripture calls that the tithe. You give that back to God. It's the first 10% of our finances. And when you do that, you're saying, God, I'm going to honor you. God, you've given me so much. I need to give that back to you. You might be like Josh, like 10%. Like that's a little radical. Yes, we give the first and the best to God. Here, let me let this preach for a second. We don't give God the leftovers. Let me let that breathe for a second. We don't give God the leftovers. God doesn't deserve leftovers. God, I'm honoring you first in the area of my finances. God, I'm giving you what you deserve. Hey, remember who gave you that job? Woo! Hold on. Remember that job you prayed for? Hey, remember that relationship you were praying for? And then God, remember that child? God, we're praying for a kid. Remember that? God, we're trying to, this is a huge move. God, how, I don't know. And God brought that to you. Remember who gives you the ability to do what you do. This is what Deuteronomy says. It's up on the screens. It says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Come on. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. You know, when I focus on God priorities, I naturally make heavenly investments. Heavenly investments. And God's like, hey, you want to know me more? Hey, you want to grow in your faith? Hey, invest your life in me. Hey, you want to grow in the Lord? Serve. Hey, you want to learn what it means to be more selfless? Hey, jump on a restore team and help a family who's going through a rough season. Hey, you want to really grow in your daily dependence on Jesus? Hey, won't you give? Honor him first in the area of your finances. Man, Jesus' kingdom always seems countercultural. It always seems upside down to society. And understand something this morning. This isn't drop 20 bucks in the offering bucket and God's going to give you a milli, okay? Like, that is not what this is. If that be the case, Lord, I've been waiting for my Tesla. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm saying? Like, been investing for a while. We don't give necessarily to get back. Okay, let me say this. God will honor your giving, but we give because it's, man, God, it's what you deserve. God, you deserve that. So then why? Why focus on eternity? Why focus on building treasures in heaven? Here's the first thought. I want you to write this down, okay? Because heaven, not earth, is my home. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, if you're somebody who says, you know, I have crossed the line of faith to say yes to Jesus, heaven, not earth, is our home. This is what Philippians says. Philippians chapter number 3. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ, basically saying, hey, those are those who actually live opposite of this kingdom-minded way of living. It says their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, interesting, and their glory is in their shame, their mind is on earthly things. They value only what they can gain in this life. Their finance, you know, the finances, the clout, the power, the stuff, and they only invest in earthly treasure. But I love how this verse ends. This is for the believer, but our citizenship is in heaven. Come on. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, heaven is our home. Hey, we're just passing through. Remember that old song? And as Jesus people, man, we hold a different perspective because, man, we have this heavenly hope. We have this heavenly promise. We have an eternal perspective. Hey, we're going to party, remember? Like, we're going to sit with the saints of God. Oh, man. God, thank you. Thank you. Heaven is our home. Earth's not. Here's a second one. Go ahead and write this down because there's limited time. An incredible opportunity. There is a limited time. And an incredible opportunity. Yeah, I don't know how much time God will give me in this life. I pray I pray for longevity, okay? But the reality is, we all don't know. I wish I could say that, but we don't know. So I want to live my life seizing every opportunity I can to make heaven more crowded. Come on. I pray that for our church. I pray that we take every opportunity with the way we live, with the way we operate in this life, that it wasn't just for us, that we didn't just build a huge church, that we didn't just get all these things in life, that we didn't just get all these toys and, you know, we're able to buy all these stuff, but that we didn't live it just for us, but that we would spend ourselves making heavenly investments. Man, that is the call of your life if you're a believer. So that someone who may be far from God will have the opportunity to, man, spend eternity in paradise. This is what Ephesians says, Ephesians chapter number 5. I love it. It says this: be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Everybody say every opportunity. Every opportunity, because the days are evil. We have a limited time, but we have this incredible opportunity. We're not promised 100 years in this life. Man, hey, let's make most of every opportunity and the things that will last forever. So how can I make most of every opportunity I have? How can I do that, right? How can I refocus more on eternal value? How can I build treasures in heaven? Here's some quick thoughts, and I'm going to be done. Here's number one. Go ahead and write this down. Give myself to God. Very practical. Give myself to God. If I'm going to make most of every opportunity while I still have it, man, I got to give myself to God. See, Jesus, when you actually think about it, Jesus is not asking for your stuff. Jesus isn't asking for stuff. He's asking for you. Some of us miss that today. He's not asking for your money. He's actually asking for you. God doesn't need your $20 bill. You know what I'm saying? Like, he desires your hearts. But so many times, man, my heart follows my treasure. My treasure, it's not pointed to God. It's stuff. Man, what can I get? What kind of clout? What kind of influence? But when I give myself to God, when I actually give all of me to God, he doesn't just take 10%. He doesn't just take a percentage. Man, he takes everything that's associated with me. I love what John Bunnell said. He said this: if one gives himself to the Lord, all other giving is easy. Isn't that good? If one gives himself to the Lord, man, everything else, it comes a little bit more naturally. It becomes easy because, man, God already has all of me. 1 Corinthians says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. See, Jesus gave his life in exchange for our own so that we can live in freedom. That's what you're living in today. You are living in freedom if you're a child of God. It's the only reasonable thing to do is to give God back what he paid for. Just to give it back to God. I'm giving myself to you. And if God owns everything and I give myself to God and he paid for it all and he's kind of the owner now of my life, here's a second one then, number two, then maybe I need to start managing everything on God's behalf. I'm going to start managing everything on the Lord's behalf, everything I have, my life, my time, my family, my house, my relationships, my job. I manage everything on God's behalf. You know what? It belongs to him anyway. Man, that'll preach right there. It's already his. He's the one who's given me all these things. Understand, hey, your entire existence is possible because the God of heaven thought of you even before you were born. Everything you have, all that you are, God planned you. Maybe you're like, you know, my parents are not together and they didn't. God planned you. God planned you. This is what Psalm says. I love this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It's all his. It's all God, it's all yours. So man, I'm just managing everything I have on God's behalf. You know that house you have? That's God's house. You know, that apartment, that's God's apartment. That's God's car. Hey, your spouse is a daughter or son of God. Hey, your children were God's idea before they were your idea. Do you know that? I manage everything I have on God's behalf. You know, that might change the way we treat some stuff. Woo! That might change the way, because I know that it's actually the Lord's, man. You know, what I love about Pastor Alex, he's actually sitting here today. He's the pastor of Old Town Community Church. And we have, you know, meetings from time to time. And he pours into me, gives me lumpia and rice. You know what I'm saying? He, like, nourishes me. And he always says something that it sticks with me. You know, Josh? You know, Pastor Josh? You guys come here. This is the Lord's. This is not mine. This is God's. Hey, you're welcome here. This is, Josh, I don't own this. This is the Lord's. And you know, when I walk around, I see trash, or I see, you know, I pick that up. You know, if I see, man, I'm going to put that away. You know why? Because this is God's. This is God. This is not my, I'm just managing on God's behalf. So, you know, when there is something, like, I just, because it's not mine, it's not Pastor, it's the Lord. So, you know what? I love my God. I'm gonna throw that. I'm going to make sure everything's squeaky clean, you know, because, my God, this is yours. I'm just managing it for you. I'm just, God, you're good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just, God, it's yours. It's God's. It's God's. Here's a third one, almost done, okay? I give myself to God, manage everything on his behalf. Here's number three. I'm gonna view everything through the lens of eternity. Now I'm gonna view everything through the lens of this heavenly view. Now I can really see life with heaven in mind. I'm not just focused on myself. I'm just focused on how, you know, how high I can climb or what I can get or how many vacations I can go on. There's a heavenly view because there's so much more to this life than this life. There's an eternity beyond here. So that person that I see at the restaurant, that soul's precious. The person who walks their dog in my neighborhood every single week, man, that person's soul, it matters. That coworker, the friend who I just reconnected with recently, the person who's across the street, hey, the unborn baby, come on, the unborn baby, hey, these are people whom God loves and he gave his life for. I view life not just, oh, but through this heavenly view. I see it through the lens of eternity, man. I gotta put on those lenses every single day. I gotta clean my lens. I gotta refocus my lens from time to time. And it gets cloudy. It might get smudged up a little bit, right? You know, that's what we're doing today. This isn't guilt trip Christianity. Come on, this isn't guilt trip Christianity. Man, we're just cleaning up the lens. Hey, we're just cleaning up. Hey, man, he just got a little, let's refocus. Moses, a great man of faith in the Old Testament, he did something interesting that I want to highlight. Hebrews chapter 11, it's going to be up on the screens, but in Hebrews 11, it's kind of called like the Hall of Faith. So anybody know like kind of the sports, like Hall of Fame is? Maybe you guys heard of that before. There's all these athletes who have done things throughout the years and they kind of get recognition for what they've done. Hebrews 11 is kind of that for faith people. And it talks about this guy named Moses. This is what it says. Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. I love this last part. Don't miss this, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses was, man, he decided that suffering along with God's people is actually a better option for him than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He valued Christ over the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he viewed life through the lens of eternity. It wasn't just this life. There's just so much more. Here's the last one. Probably my favorite one of all of them. It's up on the screens already, because this puts the ball in your court. Be intentional with my resources. I gotta be intentional with my resources, man. I give myself to God. I'm gonna manage everything I have on his behalf. I'm gonna view everything now through this lens of eternity, this heavenly view. Last one, now I'm gonna be intentional. I'm gonna do something. This is the, you know, not just head knowledge on Sunday, but I'm gonna walk it out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. See, if I've given myself to God and he owns me, everything I have, man, I got to be very intentional with what I've been given. Let me give you a couple things here, okay? And we're going to close. This is what we're not doing today, okay? Let me be very clear. I'm not going to try to give you a slick sales presentation, okay? I'm already sweating, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to try to emotionally manipulate you or pull a fast one, okay? There's some bad theology out there, okay? Unfortunately, Christendom, we have a bad, like, way of doing this with people sometimes. So let me be straight up. That's not this. But what I do want to do today, so I want to challenge you, this is between you and the Lord, to pre-decide what being intentional with your resources actually looks like. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians says this. I love this verse. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think. Everybody say think. I want you to take plenty of time to think it over, and notice this, and make up your own mind what you will give. Practical Christianity. Hey, won't you spend some time with the Lord? Won't you go ahead and take a look at your finances, your resources, or whatever it is that God's blessed you with? Won't you think it over with your spouse? Think it over with your family, okay? And make up your own mind. Don't let any preacher tell you that. Make up your own mind. You have direct connection to God just like me, okay? Like, we're all kind of there. And I love the next part. This is what it says. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. I don't need to twist your, hey, you better give like 10% or else. The end part says this, God loves it when a giver delights in giving. I shared this with our men's group last Wednesday, that I'm no longer praying that God provide financially for our church. Whoa, that's big, right? That sounds kind of weird coming from a preacher, right? Like, I'm no longer praying that God provide financially for our church. Sounds kind of weird. Okay, I'm walking a thin line here, all right? Stay with me. I already know that God's going to provide. Like, I already know that. Like, what am I going to pray for? That? I already know that God's going to provide. God wants to provide for us. He's never sold us short. He's never abandoned us. I want you to know God has never abandoned you. Us being in this building today is a testimony of God's goodness. Come on, come on. We can praise him for that today. Let's hear it, man. I'm not going to pray for that. God already wants to provide for his kids. But what I will pray for is that every man, woman, teen, kid in this church find true intimacy with God. Because when God has this, our natural response is always, of course, God, like, what do you... why do I need to pray the finances in, man? I'm just going to pray that you know God and you have intimacy with the Lord. Because, man, when God has this, my natural response is always, God, of course. Of course I'm going to give to you. God, of course I'm going to give what I got. God, of course I'm going to serve. Of course I'm going to get into community. God, of course I'm going to honor you with my finances. God, it's all yours anyway. Come on, somebody. Like, come on. It's just, I'm preaching today. I'm just saying, like, when God has your heart, of course your response is, of course, God, like, man, ain't no thing, yeah, just like, give it to you. Here's the last one. It's gonna be up on the screens. I will never miss what I invest in eternity. Y'all know I got a truck, right? I got a truck, like, I love that truck. Like, it's my baby, almost, like. But you know what? Having that coffee one-on-one with somebody and telling them about Jesus. I heard about two men in our church recently raise their hand and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Man, I've been hearing stories of people in our small group. Hey, man, this is what we're struggling with. Hey, man, I want to honor my wife. I want to honor the Lord. And we talk through some of those really hard things, me included. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, that's eternal investment. I will never miss, man, what I invest in eternity. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are. And Father, you've really changed my prayer life these last 3 months. And I pray for every single person in this room, God, that you grab hold of their heart. Somebody's walking through something really hard today. Somebody might even be going through a really huge financial struggle and they're like, you know what, I don't have anything to give. And God, I need you to provide. Father, you will always provide for your children. So whoever's in this room today, there's a lot of different folks, different families represented here, different work situations, different things going on, but God, you know. So Father, I pray that you grab hold of every single heart, because when you have our heart, God, our natural response is yes. God, of course. So Father, would you do that in this place? Would you do that, Lord, with our people? God, I see great things. I see a church who's gonna change their city. I see a people who's gonna be provided for. I see faith rise in the room. I've seen people come to a spot like, man, this is home. Father, we're gonna celebrate together one day. So if there's somebody here this morning, God, that doesn't know you, they're not sure if they said yes to you, but they need that reassurance, I'd love to pray for them. If with everybody's heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I just want to take a little time to respond to this morning. Maybe you're like, Josh, when you said give myself to God, I don't know if I've done that yet. I'm not sure. I want you to know that there's a God in heaven who loves you, and he gave his life for you. And maybe you've been walking this faith thing out, you're trying to figure it out, and God's like, hey, all you gotta do is say yes. All you gotta do is accept me. And you're like, Josh, today, I'm gonna turn away from everything else, and I wanna say yes to God. Maybe you're like, I've done that, but man, I need to rededicate my life. I've been kind of living in a way that's opposite of God's purpose. Maybe you just gotta rededicate yourself today. That's you, nobody looking around. Would you raise your hand? God, I want to pray for you. That's you. Yeah, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else like that? I see your hand. Praise God. I see your hand. Praise God. Father, I pray for my friends who've decided to say, God, I'm saying yes to you. Or God, I just need a do-over. I need a do-over. And you've spoken to me. Father, I love you so much. We're grateful for who you are. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being our Father. In your name, I ask these things. Amen and amen.